Amen.
And thanks, you guys. Well, we've gathered together today on this Good Friday to remember that Jesus died for us. Now, we have a weird relationship in some ways with Good Friday, and you wonder, why do we even call it good? Like, it's the day that Jesus died. And so usually we start making excuses, or, you know, we come up with the story that, well, it was good because Easter's coming. You know, the old, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming shtick that just makes Good Friday just only part of the story. But the truth is, as we look at the scriptures, Good Friday was truly a good day, a key day, really important day, and not just because that it was right before Easter. See, you know, the Church of Christ always ultimately celebrated the cross way more than the empty tomb. Think about it. I mean, we have a cross on the wall because it's, but we're not alone because Paul told us, he said, when I came to you, to the Ephesians, I determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. For him, that was the essence of what it was he was preaching, that he was preaching the cross. He said that many times. It's true. The death of Jesus is incredibly important. It's why Jesus even used the expression of saying, okay, I'm coming to you and I'm telling you, if you want to follow me, you need to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And he didn't say, but the best part is you're not going to stay dead. No, it's the cross, death. It truly matters. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, it was only in that suffering on the cross that he could say, he didn't say, well, this is just part of the story, just hang on for 3 days. He said, it is finished. It's finished on the cross. That's pretty amazing, tetelestai. And, you know, Jesus before that said, for this came I into the world, and for this I was born, talking about his death. So if we just look at, okay, Good Friday, let's get past it, feel a little bad, take some communion, but boy, here comes Easter's the real holiday. I mean, we will have a lot more people celebrating Easter than celebrating Good Friday. But part of that is because we really don't understand or comprehend the depth of the importance of the death of Jesus Christ and death in general. See, everything that exists in this world was invented by God, except for one thing. The one thing that God didn't invent is sin. Sin, that ability to make a bad decision, to do something that was harmful to you, to those around you. The Bible says, for by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Our great human accomplishment, we invented something that God didn't invent, and that's sin. God's response to sin was to introduce death. God invented death as a remedy for sin. Now, we understand what it is to commit your life to Jesus and have eternal life, but let's go back to those days before that. Why was death important? Why is it an important response to sin? And all we have to do is think, okay, imagine what life would be like if sin was continuing, as it always will, until we get to heaven, but there was no death. And many of us have gone through situations where somebody that we love dies, and it's like, it feels like the ultimate catastrophe unless we ask ourselves, so what would you like as an alternative to death? What would you prefer? let's just say there's no death. Would you want to live a life that just kept going on and on, influence of sin, being, you know, deterioration, constantly struggling, pain, tragedy, and don't worry, it's just going to go on like that forever? I don't know about you. At some point, I mean, sure, I would love to be raptured. Maybe I will be, but, you know, the odds are, if you go through the last couple thousand years of history, someday I'm going to deteriorate more and more. I already am. And at some point, I'm going to welcome death, actually. I'm not dreading death at all. And it's not just because of heaven. Something has to stop this erosion that happens because of sin. And so, you know, God could say, and it's why in Psalms it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That God, and I don't know if you've ever been, a lot of times when someone dies, we feel like that was way too soon. But, you know, and as a society, we try to keep people alive as long as possible, as President Carter wrote in his book on aging when he was in his 90s. He said, the one thing that modern medicine has done is it helps us to die for a lot longer. It just keeps us going on machines and things like that, because we're protecting ourselves from the very thing that God made that actually can deliver us from sin. You finally don't have to be a victim of people's evil anymore. You finally don't have to suffer for your bad decisions anymore. There is a way out, and God designed that way as death. And then Jesus came, and as he suffered, and as he was tempted in everything as we are, yet ultimately, when he died, it was finished. He had accomplished it. He had done what he had come to do. And again, he recognized it. He wasn't like, oh, bummer, I don't want to do this. I want to fight for my last breath. When he said it's finished on that Good Friday, he realized here is the immediate relief from everything that is causing pain in this world. Sin is doing things that are bad for you and doing things that are bad for others. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we all do that. We all contribute to making this world a mixed place. Yeah, we all have good things that we contribute to someone's life, but we all also mess things up. And ultimately, the accumulated effects of our sin is what causes death to actually be a blessing, be a relief, be a deliverance. Yes, of course, because Jesus died for us, that's really important. But the truth is, even if death just meant you don't go anywhere, it would be better than living eternally in sin, living in misery. That's why when the Bible talks about people who reject the gospel and reject Jesus Christ, he describes them as living ultimately, eternally, dying all the time, a constant deterioration. But that's kind of how life could feel if it weren't for the fact that Jesus came and showed us, you know, really, death isn't what you have to fear. Death isn't what you should dread. You shouldn't hate death, because if there was no death, then you'd hate life a lot more than you do already. And so he kind of describes that for us, lays it out there and explains it. And that's what Good Friday, that's why, wow, the cross is good news. That's why the fact that he came and showed us he didn't do anything to deserve death, but he chose to be one of us. Now, as we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul parses this out a lot, and In verse 40, beginning with verse 42, he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So he says, here's the way the body is. Your body that you have now is material. It is deteriorating. It is made to be disposable. And yet, you as a person are made to live forever. The fact that your body is suffering the results of and the effects of sin does not mean that that means it's the end of you. It means that who you really are and what it is that the way that God has made you, he took the immaterial you, your soul, your spirit, that which really makes you who you are, and you are in a body that's deteriorating. And that's a problem that he has to address. Resurrection ultimately addresses that. But he says, first of all, let's come to an agreement of the fact that there are bodies that deteriorate, but there is a body that will be you that doesn't. And then he goes on and says, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. There are two relationships. There's a relationship with your spirit. There's a relationship with your inherited, flawed, sinful humanity. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So he says, as much as there are bodies that die, bodies that deteriorate, there's also a spirit, the real you, that can continue. But you have to decide, am I just going to be a relative of Adam and therefore take on and inherit everything that that involves? Or am I going to form a deeper relationship with the one who holds within his hands the opportunity for a different life that goes on? Because then when we understand that, see, death becomes just a transition, but a glorious, beautiful transition. And we have within our capacity the ability to put ourselves in a position where that determines whether death is something that can be embraced or not. Because it's supposed to be. Death was designed as a blessing, as a freedom. But then he goes on and says, first man, made of the earth, dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. You're either dust or you're not. Now, he says in verse 50, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. He said, we're in a situation where we are priceless, creations of God, but we are in a body that's corruptible. And so when you make a decision to not make sure that you just continue on that path, death comes along and becomes a doorway to a transformation, the access to you finding out who you truly are. And so for Jesus, his death showed us that you can live your life and death is going to be your deliverance. One way or the other, nobody gets out alive unless, as he talks about, you know, that I'm showing you a mystery, not everybody's going to die. Someday, there are going to be people, and Paul talks about this in 1 Thessalonians 4 as well. We call it the rapture of the church. Now, I know some people today don't believe in the rapture. If you don't believe in the rapture, I love you anyway, and you'll see. You really can't make sense of this passage or 1 Thessalonians 4 without it. But he said it's a mystery. So the fact that you don't know the punchline yet, it's okay. I don't mind you being in the dark about it. But he says, someday, ultimately, everyone, when Jesus is going to come and return, he promised that he would, but when that happens, there are going to be certain people who are exempt from dying, that they will actually, we won't all sleep, we won't all die, but everyone who's left will be transformed. But essentially, what he is saying is, death today short circuits that process. Paul talked in 1 Thessalonians 4 about the fact that you're worried about the people who have died because you think they missed the rapture. He said, no, they actually got there first. They proceed, you know, they don't proceed, we don't precede them, they precede us. They had access first. So again, are we going to, you know, feel like, of course we mourn when people we love die, of course. But at the same time, we understand we don't mourn as those who have no hope because we understand a transformation has to take place. How is that transformation going to happen? The longer you live, the more you'll realize, man, death starts sounding pretty good. Rapture starts sounding amazing, but the truth is, however I get there, it doesn't matter. I understand this body is reaching its expiration date. I mean, I know for me, I've been having this thing called an essential tremor where you might notice it's really distracting to me anyway, but my right hand just like shakes. It's so annoying. But I just think of it, okay, I'm just dying one piece at a time. It's okay. And you know, now I don't have to pay the check at a restaurant because I can't write the tip. But he's saying, look, this is, nobody gets out of here alive. The question is, are you going to believe that this life is nothing? Now, you might be here or you might be watching and just going, yeah, I really believe that death is just the end. Okay, I don't have a problem with you believing that. But for those of us who have witnessed Jesus dying and then coming back from the dead, the big thing about the resurrection is he proved that he really died and that it wasn't the end. And so here, you know, as Paul's explaining that, no, there are going to be some people who actually get there ahead of those of us. But again, death is swallowed up in victory, he says. When this corruptible is put on incorruption, then death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death. Yeah, we look at it from this perspective, and we're like, I would probably do most anything I could do to prevent it from happening. Partly because I'm like, death is the unknown. Partly because for those of us who are still alive, we didn't want people that we love to die. We don't look on that as being, oh, great, I'm so happy for them. even though intellectually we understand, I'm so grateful that their suffering is over. I'm so thankful that they don't have to continue to deteriorate. And yet, we're wrestling with this combination. Ultimately, once we understand, death is actually a victory. Death is how we win. Now, does that mean that I'm just like, okay, I just want to die? No, of course not. Because if I haven't died yet, it means God's not finished with me yet. It means I also have an opportunity to share with people the truth that death has been swallowed up in victory. That, okay, sorry, your loved one died. And I hurt every time someone that I love dies. But it's God's way of telling me, they're done, you're not. It's taking you longer to do what I put you here to do. Sorry, you're stuck. It's not your turn yet. You haven't graduated yet. You're a couple of units short of really getting out of here. And so understanding that, can I, yes, mixed emotions, of course. Even as for Jesus dying, is watching him suffer and then seeing him die, it was hard for his disciples. It was hard for his mom. It was hard for anyone who cared about him until he came back and he's like, what are you bummed about? What's wrong with you? Why? And that's what anyone who has gone on to heaven before us would come back and go, I can't believe you were like such a baby about it. I stopped suffering instantly that moment that death came and delivered me, that death rescued me. And so it's understanding this, death is victory. And that's why it's not like, well, death is a bummer, but resurrection is great. No, over and over again, the scriptures say, no, death is what winning looks like. For a person who has been suffering in a fallen world, death is the best thing that could happen to you. Now you might go, that starts sounding pretty good. Maybe it's time for me to just bring about my own death. Why would I not then just take my own life if that's the case? Well, again, you're short-circuiting the process. Are you willing to die victoriously? I know there are times, and I've talked to so many people who just felt like, I just want to die. But God is saying, it has to be in my timing. I love you more than you love yourself. I will rescue you when it is your turn, but don't play God and rescue yourself in that way. Just don't do it. Now, people, I know plenty of people who are so confused and hurt that they end up making a decision to take their own life. And I would never, it's just so cruel to say, well, sorry, that's your sin, so if you take your own life, you can't go to heaven. That's ridiculous. That's disgusting. You think God is that kind of a God? He's like, hey, I had more I could have done, but it's okay. When I died to forgive your sins, I forgave that one too. And you're with me, and everything is good. And now you'll have a story to tell everybody else about how stupid you were to do what you did, how much you hurt those who love you, who you thought didn't care, and you left them with that weight. Yeah, it's a sin. But ultimately, victory is ours, and death represents victory. Finally, Paul closes it off, and it's like, okay, you win. Death is a win. Now, what do we do now? Therefore, on the basis of this, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He says, knowing that this life is temporary, but that real life continues, knowing that death will come when God knows it's time for you to be rescued. Death will be your rescue. You understand that? You'll be with him forever. So given that, let's keep going. Let's keep living. Let's keep taking every opportunity, because ultimately, to be steadfast and solid and abounding in the work of the Lord is your way of saying, I know when I've done enough, when I've had enough, when I've finished this race, I know where I'm going. It's already, Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I'll let you know when it's your turn. But in the meantime, life is precious. Death is precious. Again, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Death is a blessing. God invented it because of how we messed things up. But at the same time, you know, he says, in the meantime, you're not dead yet, so you're not done yet. How do you know if God still has things he wants to do in your life? If you're breathing, if you're still here, if you're still aware, if you still understand, then he isn't finished with you. And so, yeah, we look at death and we look at the cross. We look at what Jesus taught us about death and Good Friday being good, because that's our ace in the hole. That's what we ultimately have waiting for us. But we can't jump the gun. We have to realize, too, if death is precious, then so is life. And death is temporary. Life is eternal. Once we have that great transformation, our lives will continue along that path. And everything will fit, everything will make sense, everything will be everything that it's supposed to be. And so Good Friday reminds us, yep, I'm glad that someday, if I'm not included in the ones Paul mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 15 about the ones that won't sleep but will be magically transformed, someday I'm going to die, and that's not a threat. I'm not going to be afraid of death. Are you kidding me? It's going to be the best thing that ever happened in my life is when I die. And that's true for anyone who understands and has a relationship with the God who sent his son to die for us so that we could follow him in that. I'm excited about resurrection too. I'm excited about heaven. But you know what? The Bible says a whole lot more about life. And when you read Jesus' teachings, he's way more consumed with how we should live than of how we die or of what's going to happen after we die. The Bible, you know, leaves us with mostly mysteries. And when Paul went to heaven temporarily, he came back and he goes, yeah, I can't even describe it to you. So we tend to be really drawn toward that, where here we are. We have the gift of life. We also have the guarantee. Don't worry. If it gets to be too much, you'll die. If you're still alive, it's not too much yet. You're not finished yet. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So when we look at all this, we go, so great, death doesn't hurt, right? Oh man, it hurts. Hurts really bad. You don't even understand it if you don't understand the pain. But death is also a fresh start. Death is also a fresh opportunity. And it's true. Resurrection can only happen if you die. I mean, Justin was talking Sunday about Lazarus and the irony that he had already been dead and now they're threatening to kill him. And he's like, been there, done that. Resurrection is cool, but death is a bigger deal in a lot of ways. If you go by what the Bible talks about, it would say that death is a bigger deal than the resurrection, because it talks more about Jesus' death than it does about his resurrection. Jesus didn't say, you know, I want you to celebrate a holiday where you remember my resurrection with candy, eggs, bunnies, because they're so fruitful. And I just want you to make a big, get all dressed up fancy. Good Friday, nah, you can just wear whatever, it doesn't matter. You can go if you want, get you off work a little bit. No, he didn't say, like, celebrate Easter. But what did he do? He said, no, I want you regularly, when you get together, to remember my body that was broken, to remember my blood that was shed. Perhaps one of the reasons why we have so much pain and why we have such, you know, graphic memories of people who we love, who have gone on to be with the Lord, who have died, part of that is for us to keep a perspective of saying, Jesus said, I did it first, and I want you to remember that. You don't need to just remember my life. Remember my death. Remember that I took it to that extent. Remember that when someone dies, they have finished what they were here to do, and now they're moving on into, they continue to inspire us, and we will see them again someday, but don't feel weird about celebrating death. That's weird for us, and yet we celebrate communion at our church. We do it on the first Sunday of every month, and then we do it on, like, today we'll do it for Good Friday. Can't remember if we're doing it on Easter or not, but probably not. Oh, it's the first Sunday of the month, and we probably will. So, but isn't it weird that Jesus didn't say, I want you to celebrate resurrection? He said, no, I want you to celebrate death. Because death, and maybe you have to go through enough stuff in life till you get to the point where you're like, okay, I've suffered a lot. I'm looking forward to the day when suffering ends. Jesus took it all the way to the limit. His suffering prepared him for embracing his death. But he told the disciples, you know, in that week before he left, don't ever forget the death. Oh, you're gonna remember, man, when I came walking into the upper room without opening a door and how cool that was. You're gonna remember, yeah, Thomas, well, put your hand in my side. I'm gonna remember you floating up into the air. I'm gonna remember the Great Commission. I'm gonna remember you serving us fish in the Sea of Galilee. He didn't tell us to celebrate any of that stuff. He didn't even tell us to celebrate his second coming. He told us, do this in remembrance of me until I come. And then he said, we'll all do it once more in the kingdom, just for old time's sake, that even in the kingdom, we will remember Good Friday. We will remember that sacrifice. It's hard, it can be painful, but it's only when we understand that, that we truly understand what Christianity is all about. Now, if you received communion elements when you came in, if you didn't, you can raise your hand and one of the pastors or ushers will get you some, but this is what we do to say, you know, and again, it's, a lot of people don't deal well with death. So Jesus said, I know, eat this, drink this, take this. It's as real as it gets. And I know that death feels like a dead end. I know that death feels like a great tragedy. But when you understand from an eternal perspective, that death is glorious. And so I want you to remember my body that was broken so that you don't think, oh, when Jesus died, that's so sad. His body was broken. He was bleeding out. He was in excruciating pain. He felt like, God, where are you? You wouldn't want that to end. You wouldn't at some point go, it's finished. So he said, I don't want you to forget that, because the truth is, most of you will never be beaten. You'll never be nailed to a cross. You'll never have to die a martyr's death. And for most of you, if you did, you probably deserved it. I didn't. But I want you to remember, I went first. And I wasn't shy about it. I told you, for this I was born, and for this came I into the world. And so we celebrate communion to remember that the most important thing that happens to Jesus was when he died. And the most important thing that will ever happen to us, our greatest day will be when we too come to the point where we're like, okay, I took up my cross, I'm ready to go. I'm moving on to that which I can't hardly envision. But I'm not like living my life here just because it's going to get me something in heaven. This life is a gift. But when the time comes, so is death. And I'll accept that on faith because Jesus showed me ahead of time that that's in fact the truth. And that's amazing. Anyone who doesn't know Jesus could never understand how can death be good? But he showed us, and he told us, and he said, don't ever forget this, that if it weren't for death, suffering would go on indefinitely. Death is your ticket out that says you graduated. And take this body, take this blood, and remember, you're doing it to remember me, because there are going to be times in life where the broken body and the shed blood feels uncomfortably familiar to you. And I want you to remember, I know, I went first. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this truth. Thank you for dying. And we love that you didn't say, have a special ceremony for my resurrection. Resurrection was just a given. But you told us, always remember my broken body and shed blood, because you will relate to and identify with that. Because you're still here. We are still in the process of our bodies breaking down and our blood's deterioration. And so you remind us at communion that we're not alone. That not only did you go first and die, but that everyone around us is in the same boat. Just different versions, different experiences, different approaches, but we're all in this together and nobody gets out alive. Thank you for what you did for us to take away the need to fear death, to teach us that the thing that everyone in this world is most afraid of is actually a brilliant invention that you came up with to limit our suffering. Lord, thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all partake together. By the way, if you're here and you're like, I don't even know if I'm enough of a Christian, or I did some bad things this week or whatever, we receive communion because we need it. And if you're at a point where you're like, I don't know, I'm open to this, then I would encourage you to go ahead and eat the bread and drink the cup and realize in that choice, in that decision, you are identifying with the fact that, yeah, I want my life to mean something. I want to be able to embrace the fact that I have an expiration date, but that that could be the best day of my life. God offers that to you for free, and I pray that you would just receive from him right now, and you can partake with us. Let's all stand. My prayer for all of us is that we'll have a great Easter, for sure, but that today will be more special because of what it represents, because of what Jesus accomplished, that for us too, the core of our faith is in a cross, not an empty tomb. The empty tomb just proves what we believed anyway, what he told us anyway. So enjoy the rest of this day. Jesus doesn't want you to be all bummed about Good Friday or about his death. He doesn't want anybody feeling sorry for him. He didn't feel sorry for himself. In fact, he said, nobody's killing me. I'm giving myself. I'm making this choice. And so enjoy celebrating the cross. And next time you see a cross, wherever you are, you see them everywhere, especially in sports. You know, people like wearing a cross around their neck. Why is that? Because the one thing that people fear the most, the cross defeated. And let's really relish in that. And then we'll see you back on Easter Sunday, and we will talk about Easter, which is basically the afterglow to Good Friday, which matters most. So you're the real people. Those people that come on just on Easter, they don't count. But I'll be here, and we'll celebrate the resurrection, which is worthy of celebration as well. So may God give you an amazing rest of your weekend, and thanks for coming. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you.